Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
Good morning, guys.
Yo. What's up, baby?
You got the two-on-two trophy that we won as a team.
I just want people to know that we're champions. Everything that we do, we win. Win, 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 win. Just a little Alan Hahn. And who was the other guy we played against?
Who was the other guy? Bart.
Oh, Bart.
I haven't seen Bart in a minute.
Yeah, I seen Bart.
I seen Bart
pretty recently.
I just hadn't seen him. Like, I hadn't personally seen him.
Yeah.
Because I've been on the West Coast, and then he hadn't been on the shows over the last several months.
Yo, Bart came with the – Bart had two ankle braces on each ankle.
Well, first of all, they challenged Jay Will to a basketball game. What do you think is going to happen?
It challenged me, Key, and I.
Yeah, but still, you're on the –
shoot. Go ahead.
There's a Simpsons episode where Barney picks a fight with Joe Frazier. The drunk at the bar in the Simpsons. Joe Frazier's in the bar, and he just starts talking mess to Joe Frazier. Oh, let's take it to the alley, Joe Frazier. That's kind of what it is when they started talking to you about basketball. Hey, Jay Will, let's go play basketball. What do you think is going
to
happen?
We tried to pivot that into like a quarterback wide receiver contest. They didn't want no part of that.
I'm good.
I was trying to get some other contests going on around here, like three-point shooting contests.
Supposed to play Stephen A., I thought.
He's been running from me ever since.
The best about
I keep
that,
trying to chase that. Him down. I'd be sending him texts.
Nothing.
Is that good? That may not be a good sign for me.
What I loved about listening to those guys, Bart and Hahn, when they were entered, is that Bart really talked Alan Hahn into, right? Like, Alan was not trying to challenge anyone, but Bart kept talking. My friend's not scared of you. And Alan's like, what are you doing?
Bart came out ready to go, though. Alan had a couple of videos of him trying to dunk the ball. Key and I didn't believe it. Somebody splicing together the video.
Oh, that was fun times. All right.
You know who else isn't winning at basketball? Right. All right. Tim Legler had some words.
Yeah, because Frank, he just turned the dial on you.
Frank's back. No.
Frank's
we were kind of, hey, Frank, wasn't that enough sports?
2 minutes. It was 2 minutes.
Frank doesn't even know what neighborhood he's in. What are you talking about? He's fine.
Frank thinks he lives in.
No, Frank knows he lives in West Palm now.
Yeah, he knows West Palm.
You don't know that.
Yeah, he might.
He might be in Boca.
Yeah.
No, don't know it.
He Hollywood.
Doesn't know. Maybe he's in Hollywood.
Yeah.
Maybe he's
in Delray Beach.
Maybe he's in Delray Beach. You never Jupiter? I don't know. Maybe he's in Jupiter.
Was he born? He didn't grow up there. He was born in the Bronx. And then he thought it was Harlem or something like that?
No.
Or vice versa.
He grew up in Brooklyn, the Bronx, born in the Bronx, grew up in the Bronx, but somehow it became Harlem.
Maybe he grew up in the Harlem part of the Bronx.
So Tim Legler was on First Take yesterday. Also on This Just In, by the way, 2 p.m. Eastern, ESPN, handsome host. And he said the following about James Harden's championship ability. Listen to this.
I don't think you win a championship with James Harden. It's that simple. I just don't think you do. When you look at true star players around the NBA, and I'm not saying that James Harden's not a star, clearly. He's been an MVP in this league, statistical domination for a decade. When you look at star players, though, right, there's a couple things that most of those guys will be able to do that James Harden has shown repeatedly he can't. And here's the first thing. Star players' floor on a given night can't be what James Harden's floor is.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? My point being, if you're a 23 to 25-point guy, right, that's who you are, you might have a rough shooting night in a playoff game or a big spot or it's game five and it's 2-2, but you're going to find a way to get to 20, you know, because you get to the line, you're still making plays. Maybe that's a night you get 8, 10 assists, whatever it may be. When James Harden hits the floor, it's a six-point night with six turnovers and disappears in the fourth quarter of games where he doesn't want any part of that moment. You can't overcome it. Because he's got the ball the whole game.
So,
Tim.
Look, even Harden in his prime seemed to struggle in the biggest moments. But I will say this, guys. When Harden was in his prime, he got you closer to a championship than you should have been. Like, the Rockets should not have gotten that close to a championship given their roster when the Warriors had KD. They went down to the wire and Chris Paul missed game 7. That was still at Houston. But that's not the same James Harden anymore. And even then, the big moment seemed a bit much for him, even if he could get you to the big moment.
See, I don't think James Harden could be your second volume shooter on the team, right? Like, obviously, you have Joel Embiid. Like, in a perfect world, if the evolution of Tyrese Maxey could occur, I would love for him to be the guy that gets the second most shots on the team, and then James Harden becomes more the distributor. The issue is, though, when you're paying him a certain type of price, that price warrants you being a superstar at this level. And that's the kind of deal that he's taken or that he's looking for as it relates to the 76ers. And I don't think he's that type of player anymore. I think he needs to be the third player on a championship team.
He's the conductor of the offense. And the other problem with Harden is, if he's like, people say, oh, what if he went to the Lakers? The thing about Harden is, if he's the best shooter, the best high-usage guy you have, among the high-usage guys you have, if he's the best shooter, the problem is he's going to be taking the big shot, and that's not what you want. You want another dude on the team who could shoot it like him.
Can I give you guys an alternative point here?
Yeah.
So if – and this is where I think Daryl Morey ultimately has leverage at this stage of James Harden's career. So if I'm Raphael Stone, if I'm the GM of the Houston Rockets, I know Tim Fertitta, the owner, supposedly loves James. They want James to come back. But I am really asking myself this question. If the average age of my team is 20 years old, and I have Jalen Green, who, when he has the keys to this car, he's going to be a superstar. I think he's super talented. I have Kevin Porter, 23 years old. I have Jabari Smith Jr., 20 years old. Kenyon Martin Jr., 22 years old. I have Josh Christopher at 21 years old. I have incoming rookies, Amen Thompson, 20 years old. Cam Whitmore, 18 years old. We always talk about the most important thing for a young team is to have a big brother. A guy that you can say, hey, that's what a pro looks like. I want to follow that guy in every aspect of the game. At this stage of his career, is James Harden ready to be that as your max player to this young core? Are you going to entrust James Harden with this young core and say, come on, young guys, follow me. Let me show you the way to do it. At this stage, like, I would question that if I were Raphael Stone. So if I'm looking at that Daryl Morey, I'm thinking that, okay, if I can get him on a shorter term deal, you know, money it's going to take, but a lesser deal, I think you're going to get him for what you want.
You know, it's okay for a veteran player to go with young guys depending on what your goals are. If your goals are, I'm going to get the money, and I don't care about the championship, and I just want to play basketball, that's okay. The problem that I have in these situations is sometimes you can get a little delusional about the possibilities on the court. What I mean by that is you think it's going to go a certain way, and now it does not go that way. Your frustrations settle in, and you don't become the big brother, the locker room guy that they anticipated you was going to be. Because now you're frustrated that you're not winning. You're watching all the other boys of yours win games, and you stuck over here for the money. See, for me, that's what I fear for James Harden going back to Houston. Because you go back to Houston, you're not winning a championship. Okay, you're going for the money. And if you're going for the money, you must understand that you're going to have some rough times. And it's not going to go smooth. This isn't a young, flying OKC team. There's no Kevin Durant and Westbrook's on this type of team. So you're not going to win at the high clip that you think you are, just chasing the money.
Where he is now, Joel Embiid is playing at historically great levels right now. Like, very few have reached the level Embiid is playing on both ends of the court right now. And remember, Jimmy Butler, that was Embiid's guy and sort of mentor or big brother figure. He goes to Miami, they wind up in the finals every time you turn around, right? Listen to Legs talk about Embiid's body language around James Harden. Listen to this one, guys.
But I don't think ultimately you win with that pairing. And Joel Embiid's body language shows it every time James Harden looks like that. Now Embiid's shoulders drop.
Yep.
Timeout on a 6-0 run coming off the court. Now nobody in that team believes, because Embiid doesn't believe anymore, because he knows that he is not going to turn this night around. He's seen it too many times. He saw the same thing with Ben Simmons. Now he's seeing it again with James Harden, and that's why I just don't think he is the answer ultimately.
Well, that's correct in terms of Legs' body language. Body language is extremely important in sports with your teammates. If you look up, people always ask me about quarterbacks. I can tell you, being in the huddle with certain quarterbacks, it's like, we ain't got a chance, man. I can just look at this dude when he get in the huddle, how he spits out the play call. You know, no, I'm dead serious.
No, I know you are.
You in the huddle. You in the huddle. You're like, come on, man.
It can have a demoralizing effect on the team.
Man, you got this dude in the damn huddle with me.
Yeah.
Like, if you don't get him out of here acting scared.
But you know who Legs brings up there? Ben Simmons. If you start to notice Embiid's body language around Harden, resembling his body language around what it was around Ben Simmons, that's a problem. That's the problem.
So similar to what happened when Phoenix lost CP3. You saw the ball in the hands of Devin Booker, right? You saw a different Devin Booker.
Yeah.
You saw the playbook open up. You saw the pace of the game open up. All of a sudden, you're like, whoa, hold on a second. This could look different.
You talking about Maxie?
Yeah, exactly where I'm going. So, like, if James Harden is a volume dribbler, like, I got the ball in my hands, like, what's that game look like with Tyrese Maxey, the ball in his hands?
But
is that going to open up the system more?
The flip of that, Jay, is the difficulty in the NBA is the way things are structured with the salary cap and all this.
Frank.
What's funny, Key?
Go keep talking. Frank, don't let me sidetrack you.
Frank is called
the,
in.
The way the salary cap is set up is if you already have a player and you let him walk, you may be up against the cap already. You can't just replace him with another player. So I agree with you. But the position they're stuck in, it seems, is either we lose James Harden and don't really get anything back, and he is a valuable player, or since he's already here, we keep him.
I would change his role. I would say, yo, you want to come back for X amount of money? Like, let's figure that out. I'm going to change your role. I'm going to play you more off ball. I'm going to need the ball in Tyrese Maxey's
He can
hands.
Certainly score.
Like, and I need you to be more of a spot-up shooter. The problem is, does that warrant the price that you're going to pay?
We know about Harden, you know, and Kyrie for that matter, but what are some of the other names you should be paying attention to as free agency approaches? 888-SAY-ESPN, 729-3776. Oh, look at this. Clipper Darryl wants in on this,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, we'll
not just Frank from West
phone?
Palm.
Ooh.
Frank from West Palm wants to clear the air. I want to hear what
it's
this
3
is
o'clock
about.
In the morning on the West Coast. There
we go. Yeah, we'll do it when we come back. Yeah. Keyshawn, J. Willimax,
what
ESPN
else they
Radio.
Do?
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
888-SAY-ESPN, 729-3776. KJM presented by Progressive Insurance. We're going to get to the other names you should be paying attention to as we get closer to free agency. Let's take some calls, though. Clipper Darryl has something to tell us. What's up, Clipper Darryl?
You know, I got to let you know, I hate you, Max. I'm telling Marcellus. I need Marcellus with me right now. Mm. Keyshawn, you, I hate you, too. Because you're off my top five receivers.
Ooh.
Okay.
Personal,
Jay Will,
up,
I love you, baby.
What up,
I
baby?
Love you, Jay Will.
What up, baby? What's going on, D?
I love Jay Will.
That means you had to say something good about the Clippers at some point.
Why are you up at 3 a.m. in the morning, though? You either coming in from the club. Why are you up at 3 harassing us?
Because I enjoy you guys, man. I've been enjoying Max ever since he was on 710 out here.
Hey,
so,
Clipper Darryl, you know, who was the one on 710 back in the day when Sterling still owned the team, where I said, you know what, they ought to put Clipper Darryl on payroll, give him six figures. You remember that?
I remember that.
See, look at that. Who's
that,
trying
man.
To get you paid, Clipper Darryl? And you have the nerve to call in.
I hate to burst your bubble, Max. Everybody in L.A. was screaming and telling Donald Sterling to pay. Clipper
not on the radio.
Not on the radio.
Not on the radio.
Everybody was telling
not
this
on
dude
the radio.
To pay Clipper Darryl. What's up, man? What you call in to talk about?
What's going on with your squad, hey, man? What moves y'all making? What y'all doing?
Can you just, you know, give us a chance, man? You know, we had injuries this year, okay?
Kawhi was injured
just every year. Come on now.
Okay, can you show us a little love? See, when LeBron go out, if you notice how LeBron changed the thing, he told everybody he's retiring, right? And nobody talked about that. He got swept in the Western Conference Finals.
Clipper Darryl. Talk about. Clipper Darryl. Y'all wasn't in the Western Conference Finals.
Clipper Darryl, when you signed Kawhi, I was on TV talking about the Clippers are going to win the championship. You weren't hurt that year. It's in the bubble. You're hitting the side of the backboard in the fourth quarter in game seven. You blow a 3-1 lead. What do you want me to do? The Lakers won it that year. You had the shot. And then since then, it's always an excuse. The franchise is you know, snake bit. It's jinxed. Not my fault.
You know what? Honestly, guys, though, man, I can tell you, though, I was hearing it from Jerry West. Jerry West said, I think the Clippers are cursed. When Jerry West said it, and he'd been building this team up, man, I got kind of nervous, man. But I still believe we got a championship in us, though.
What would the world be without Clipper Darryl believing in the Clippers?
Well, you guys are getting a new stadium right down the street from the Great Western Forum, so that'll certainly rub off and help y'all at least make it to the conference final.
Well, Darryl's in Inglewood, happy right now. Right?
Where it belongs.
Darryl's happy right now. Kawhi Leonard's healthy.
That's right.
Exactly.
Five minutes of that, so enjoy it. All right. Clipper Darryl, ladies and gentlemen.
Hey, you leave Kawhi alone, okay? You and Stephen A. always – that's why I call him Stephen A. Leonard.
Because he takes off too.
Stephen A takes off a lot too.
Oh, wow. Darryl, you swimming hard today, Darryl.
All right.
You swimming hard today.
Clipper Darryl, ladies and gentlemen. All right, Clipper Darryl, it's good to hear from you. However, Frank from West Palm has been waiting on the line. And what do you want to clear the air about, Frank from West Palm?
I have to tell you. I get embarrassed every time I hear you guys talk. You can tell I'm a loyal listener. Mm-hmm. That being said, now this I've got from my older brother and sister. My mom and dad were born and raised in Harlem.
All right.
I guess that's where I'm getting my thing screwed up.
Then they went across the river at some point, and then you were born.
It was like a 23andMe was done, and he found out he was from Harlem instead of the Bronx.
Well, I just, you know, I heard so many stories about Harlem, and that's, you know, and my dad was a cop, and he was the head of the homicide squad in Harlem.
Gotcha.
So I get that. Anyway, this is a question I have, and I really got to get this off my chest. The players, the great players, and you're showing my age, but the great players from the 60s, 70s, and 80s. I firmly believe that those guys can play today. What do you guys say?
If they were coming up today.
I would think yes. They could. To answer your question, Frank, yes. Their skill sets will be fine-tuned to today's era where, you know, you shoot a basketball back then or cut your football back then and run the ball, whatever the case is. If you're doing it in today's era, you're learning everything.
But if we were dropping – I mean, he gave multiple years. He set in 60s, 70s, and 80s, different, right? But if we were to drop just those, like, 60s to 70s in today's game
– they would be drowned.
I would say less than, like, 3%.
Yeah.
I'm not practicing the exercise. Obviously, I know if they were raised
today, their
skill set would be different. But we were to take them right from then put them in today's game.
Yeah, but like, here's what people like, saying, here, though, here's
I,
what
I know it's not. I know it's not. I'm just
here's what
some
older
people can.
Yeah, that's what I said.
You gave a percentage.
Like a 3%. Yeah. Like
this is what older people have to understand. No one even debates that anymore. No, like when I was a kid, people say, "Oh, this one would have done great today." And the old timers were really thinking that the players from 50 years ago were going to succeed. No one thinks that anymore. What people have realized over time is, of course, they wouldn't be able to compete, almost all of them. But if they were coming up today with nutrition and other things and training, then a lot of them would.
Instead of Jack Daniels and cigarettes at halftime.
Right. PEDs instead of Jack Daniels and cigarettes.
Yeah, halftime.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, here. It's halftime. We're down by 12. You want to smoke?
Do it. Give him a cup of Joe and a cigarette.
I'm disappointing you.
Why is that?
Because you didn't confirm with Frank. You had one job. And see if he was actually from West Palm or not.
Hey, Frank.
Is he still with us?
Damn.
Oh, boy. Wait a second.
Are you sure you're from West Palm?
No. Wait. Now you got me because listen to this. I lived in West Palm Beach for 30 years. I live in Vero Beach, which is 70 miles north of West Palm. And the reason I say West Palm is because people know where it's at.
See, the Bronx and Harlem are at least separated by a tiny little river.
I knew it, Frank. I knew it.
You're 70 miles? You can't say something that's 70 miles. You can say 20 miles, okay. 70 is a different city.
I'm starting to question everything you say now, Frank.
How far is Philly from New York? It's not much more than
70 miles. Like,
we just said Sacramento from San Francisco. 70, 80 miles. What are we talking about?
Oh, Frank, I knew it.
Yeah, you guys see, but at least you can tell I'm honest. Anyway, I'm telling you the truth.
But I knew.
We have to question you to be honest, though, Frank. I don't know.
That's why I said it. I knew. I'm like, nah, I know West Palm Beach. He's from somewhere Vero Hollywood.
Beach.
He's somewhere Jupiter. Yeah. You know, yeah. Right? I mean, God.
You got to start reading the fine print with some of our callers,
oh,
man.
God.
All right.
How you going to transition off that?
I don't know. 888-SAY-ESPN, 729-3776. We were talking about James Harden in the previous segment and what his market might be. Same thing for Kyrie Irving, right? In order to get paid, you need more than one bidder. Jay, you're arguing that Philly, Daryl Morey will know that there's not actually a robust market for James Harden and then therefore may be able to get him at a discount. You like that idea if he's off ball. What about a team like Portland, who's looking for help for Damian Lillard? Once you have the idea that you're going to move Harden off ball,
they just had that, and probably better in CJ. They just had that. Why are you going back to that?
You're rebuilding. Well, if you're rebuilding. You're not getting older. Max.
Not in a long deal.
Can I just say any reasonable, practical GM out there?
Yeah.
If you're thinking about adding James Harden to your roster, right? First off, there's a fit cap space for the money he's going to want. And then secondly, like, is this the type of leader I want to be around my young core? Like, it's a legit question. Like, if my young core is entering that next phase of their career,
where they're learning about
team ownership, accountability, leadership, all these different things, do I want James Harden to be a major influence in that locker room on a day-to-day basis?
Harden is still, in many respects, a great player. But you can see he's not in the best shape he could possibly be, and you can see it. Like, he knows the game at a level now where it's like the curse of the gifted. He has it down to where he doesn't need to get himself into tip-top shape in order to be effective.
Maybe he could. I don't know.
I think different because when I watch him drop 50 on Boston and carry them in that game, it makes me say, well, he can do it.
He
has to do it that way, though, where the ball's in his hands and the whole offense is built around him.
Right.
So, like, it's the way he did it. Right?
I understand.
But, like, that
he came out as a six man. I mean, he was a six man coming up.
I think he's better off the ball. Like, I think he would thrive off the ball. Put the ball in Tyrese Maxey's hands, build the offense around him, let him be an additive-like player.
Jay going after the Philly job already.
Or something like what Steph or Dre do, right? Like, he's
that second
on,
unit.
By the way, it worked with
that,
Chris Paul. Great.
It's
it really
have to
worked
work
great.
With Chris Paul. It's going to have to work with Chris Paul.
No, I'm saying when Harden and Chris Paul were in Houston, that was a problem because they could both play on and off. Will Lakers fans be okay with them not signing a big name free agent? 888-SAY-ESPN.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
The Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max Podcast.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Huge day for the Lakers.
In Brooklyn.
For their future. So, the Lakers could potentially create, I'm quoting somebody here, I'll tell you who in a second. Who am I quoting here, Nuno? Bobby Marks, I'm quoting Bobby Marks, our very own Bobby Marks, former Nets executive, current ESPN front office insider. Lakers could potentially create roughly $17 million in room if they let Malik Beasley, Mo Bamba, and D'Angelo Russell go.
Bye.
So they would save more money than that, but I guess this is $17 million in room under the cap because, you know, teams can grandfather in stuff that lets them bust through the cap. The Lakers have announced that they've officially extended qualifying offers to Rui Hachimura and Austin Reeves. Both are now restricted free agents, so the Lakers have the right to match any offer they get. Here's Rob Pelinka, Lakers GM, on his desire to keep the core together. Listen to this.
We want to try our hardest to keep this core of guys together and also improve around the edges and on the margins to not only get back to where we were last year, but hopefully take the next step, get into the NBA Finals. There's a lot of parity in the league right now, and everyone smells an opportunity to chase a championship, but we're going to try our best to stay in that pack or at the head of that pack.
You know what the problem is to me, guys, for the Lakers right now? Look, anything could happen. You know, Jokic or Murray could get compromised physically somehow, even if they don't miss time, and the Lakers maybe could get over the top. But the difference now for the Lakers is if you had LeBron James, you had a strategic advantage against anyone. He was just better than everyone. But that's Jokic now. Jokic better than LeBron. And so if Jamal Murray shows up big in the playoffs as he does, I don't think you just need to improve on the margins. I think you need to be, you need the rest of your team to be better than the rest of the Nuggets team. Like, I know they were in every game and they just kind of threw it together at the trade deadline, but they did get swept. Nuggets are very, very good.
So what are you suggesting?
I think they need to figure out a way to get, it doesn't have to be a max contract type guy, but it's got to be a special kind of player who can elevate under pressure. It's got to be someone where you go, oh, wait a minute, that makes a lot of sense. Not just, hey, we keep this core and we add a little piece over here to get over the top.
I think you keep the core.
Who's
which,
the core?
I was about to say, which is LeBron, AD, Austin Reeves, Hachimura. Mm-hmm. That's the core. Now you go out there and you don't have to get a Kyrie and or a James Harden, but you get something close enough to the point where they could score, defend. Then you get the rest of the pieces to put around them. Because even though they were swept,
they were in every game.
They were in every single game.
Yep.
With a team that was put together late. Wasn't a team that started off in October together.
Uh-huh.
So to me, I value that. And I think they value that. This is why Rob is saying what he's saying.
Well, so, I mean.
But I don't know the players that's out there that I'm talking
about.
Yeah,
no, it's all good. I mean, that's why I'm here for the
and
most part.
Vanderbilt's good. Like, you have some pieces
like,
that.
So, like, if this thing starts to get a little bit of out of, like, what is your comfort level with Austin Reeves?
Paying him
because everybody keeps saying, like, you know, when you go on TV and people say, well, I'm doing whatever it takes to bring back Austin Reeves and Rui. I'm like, what does that actually mean? Like, because everybody, like, you have this hard cap now. Uh-huh. Everybody's talking about the second apron. So if he's a restricted free agent, they can match any offer. But if somebody were to come and throw $130 million at him for 4-5 years, you're going to do that? Are you going to overextend yourself for
30?
I'm probably going to cap it out at 100.
25 a year over 4 years.
Yeah.
That sounds like the number, right?
Yeah, I'm probably capping
it out
between, at 100.
So then between Bron, AD, and then that, I mean, you're pushing, depending upon what you get Rui for. So then your margins are then become conversations around guys like Javon Carter. Now, nobody's going to know who that name is, but like, he shot over 40% from the three-point line and over 45% from the field and is a great defender. You have to start replacing guys like Dennis Schroeder, right? Like, you have to look at guys like Josh Richardson, like, who is a decent three-point shooter but can kind of be a glue guy like a KCP. But essentially, who played for Denver, who played a critical role. But essentially what you're saying is then with that core, those four, that you feel like that four is good enough to go against the Denver's four. With the margins.
Here's the problem. The team that looks like the magnet for those players who are ring chasing, and it's all over media now, right, is the Suns. If you're a player, you want to chip up and you're like,
they need
ooh.
The margins.
And also they have the minutes to give you because their minutes are taken up if they move DeAndre Ayton. They only got three starters, really. So
they're not going to move Ayton.
But if they do, I think there's a good chance that they do. However, they're posturing now. You can fill out the roster. If you're the Suns and you move Ayton and you get two to three rotation pieces, now not all of them may be starters. If you're a guy who's been hanging around and you're good and you've made your money, you might want to go there instead of the Lakers.
I don't think there's a market for Ayton. I want to turn the conversation to Ayton.
Yeah, yeah.
I just don't think that market for Ayton
is okay. Well, let's say Ayton's on the team. Let's say there's still a lot of minutes to go around on the Phoenix Suns, right?
Yeah.
Even if Ayton's on the team. So the type of players who used to look at a LeBron team and go, I'm going to go to that. You know, they need some depth. Ooh, I'm going to get some run.
But you are not factoring in the fact that, again, and Jake's going to hate this, it's still the Lakers, dog.
Yeah, no doubt. No, that's a bit of a magnet. No doubt.
Yeah, you know them dudes, Jay. You know how it is. It's still
LA.
And there's a certain recruiting method that the LeBron James crew puts together to get what they need from certain guys.
I'm not arguing that you're right. They will be able to attract some, but I'm just saying there is more competition for that type of player who a LeBron team would usually, ooh, they could fill out, oh, they got him, really? On the cheap? That dude might want to go to Phoenix
if you
now.
Just think, but that may be true.
Which is kind of close to L.A. too. You still
it ain't the same. Don't you dare.
No, I'm not saying.
It might as well be like Frank and say the Bronx or West Palm Beach.
Right.
In Vero Beach.
I'm not saying it's the same. I'm saying if you need to get to L.A., it's a little puddle
jumper. No, I understand what you're saying. But, Max, when you think about it, you look at that team that was in the bubble.
Mm-hmm.
Outside of LeBron and A.D., you had some sprinkles around that went on to win a championship.
KCP.
You had sprinkles around. And I think they still, with the four core guys, they can get some sprinkles around them because Austin Reeves is really good, man.
Yeah.
He's a really good basketball
player. Yeah, two-way player.
You do need some pieces, though, defensively, though, as well, like some stoppers on the perimeter.
If they got either.
You need shooting.
If they got a guard who
like
could
Seth Curry
create off the dribble, or not both, but or a legit 3-and-D guy for the starting lineup. Like if you just slid a legit 3-and-D guy, legit, into the starting lineup, you'd look at the Lakers and be like, okay, they can go.
Are they still Draymond Green off the board?
I mean, if Dre is going for 25, 30 million a year, Lakers he's not 17. On the board.
But I don't know what they're, you know, I don't know. Maybe there's a different conversation because of the relationship that someone has with Draymond, that those numbers might be a certain way, you know, just.
I mean, well, that certain person has relationships with Fred VanVleet as well. I mean,
Jay.
Clutch represents everybody right now. It feels like in free agency.
Lance is in Baltimore. He's originally from New York, and he's a little upset at you.
At me?
Yeah. Lance, okay. What's your beef with Jay?
Baltimore?
Listen, I'm beside myself. I literally I've exited my body, and I'm standing next to myself with Jay Will because he said something, and I'll paraphrase. He said that 3% of the players from the 60s, 70s, and 80s.
No. See, you misheard, Lance.
Currently today?
I said from the 60s. From the 60s. I didn't say 70s and 80s. I specifically said the 60s.
And he's saying if they know nothing about today's game, you just pluck them out
from
of
the
60s.
And you drop them in?
Do you think it would be in the 80s, Lance, if you just you can't train today. Pluck them out of 1985 and drop them in today. What percentage would play in the NBA?
Well, they certainly wouldn't be. They wouldn't, like, not make it back on the other end of the court because they claim that they got hit.
In the 80s? People weren't playing defense in the early 80s?
No, that's not what he said.
The game was legislated differently.
The game was way different in the 80s. I'm with you, Lance.
What he's saying is,
you know,
it would be so rough that they wouldn't get back down on the other end of the court.
Hold on, Lance, so let me ask you, if you were, because I think you misheard
fouled
me.
Fouled out
you,
5 minutes.
You may be close to agree with me. If you were, what percentage of players in the 60s, if you were to drop with their skill set in the 60s in today's game in 2023, what percent do you think will play in the league?
70%.
No,
70%?
Man. No, that's not correct.
So consider this. In the 60s, they spent all 4 years in college refining their game.
Yeah, but what was the game, Lance? The game was not as advanced.
In the 60s that played other sports, there were some guys that played basketball that really played football too. You know what I mean? So you have guys now that are pure basketball players.
Yes.
Right? But you just had general athletes.
That's my point, though. Lance, you're making my point, bro.
That was our whole conversation.
And Jay is saying, and Jay and Key are, and I am all saying that if you took them, dropped them today, and they went and they went and trained for a little while, doing what the athletes do today, picked up some things, they'd be fine. But that's not what Jay said. Jay's like, you just pluck them out and just drop them into today's game.
No, they would get run out of the building.
Of course.
If you took the same metrics and skill set and what they did in those in that day and era, you tried to drop,
if you took them and raised them up or they trained today, then in different stories.
Absolutely. 100%.
My turn to upset football fans, guys.
Oh, no.
I'm going to give you my top five NFL fan bases. KJM.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. From the top five NFL quarterbacks.
Prescott has had a fantastic.
Windows my whole career.
You want to win the Super Bowl.
To the top five NFL fan bases. We're ranking the top of everything in the NFL. This is ESPN Radio's.
158. Go.
Rank 'em. The top five fan bases.
Sean, J. Will, and Max were presented by Progressive Insurance, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM Channel 80, ESPN 2, the ESPN app. All right, guys. This is my top five fan bases in the NFL. Here's the criteria.
Okay.
Whatever I decide I want to use to get the result I want. Ready?
Can I ask just an open and honest question?
Good.
Have you been to any of these arenas?
Yes, but, yes but not all of them. Yes, but not all of them. All right, ready?
Number five.
At number five.
All right.
The Kansas City Chiefs. Because these things are not set in stone. These things change over time. Arrowhead's maybe the loudest we got, right, in the NFL. And they've had so much success recently. What is it, Key? That's number five. By the way,
number four.
Our very own James Steele was from.
You don't know his last name?
Well, I forgot for
is
a second.
Is he still with us?
From Pittsburgh, but was somehow a Kansas City fan. All right.
Well, it's only 70 miles from Pittsburgh.
That's right, only 70 miles, exactly. It's basically right outside of Pittsburgh. All right, at number four, the Buffalo Bills. Bills Mafia, not only, listen, that is a town, and this is true, I think, of certain NFL fan bases. When that's the only show in town, you have a different level of fan, right? The depth that the fan is into them. Okay, at number three.
Number three.
The Green Bay Packers. The Packers the Packers are actually America's team. They're the one. There's an old expression in advertising. Yeah, but does it play in Peoria? Because right in that neck of the woods was supposed to be the kind of demographic that showed you when it hit the middle of the country. That's the Packers. This is the team of Vince Lombardi, of all the championships, of then Favre and Rodgers, before then Bart Starr. The Packers are really, in fact, what the Cowboys try to be.
Peoria, Illinois, right?
Yes, but it's the same neck of the woods.
Yeah, no, look.
At number two.
Number two.
You realize the Chicago Bears have won one Super Bowl in their entire existence? One in their existence. That was in 1985. It's almost 40 years. And they still care more about the Bears than about every other team they got in that town combined, including the Bulls that have won six champions, had two different three-peats. And at number one.
Number one.
Not the Dallas Cowboys. The Pittsburgh Steelers. Steelers fan. Steelers have so much. When I was a little kid and the Giants were no good, I was a Steelers fan. This country was divided into Cowboys and Steelers fans. Cowboys fans, if you didn't have a soul. Steelers fans, if you like football. So that's it. And if you want to know where the Eagles or the Cowboys are, I hate the Eagles and the Cowboys. I'm not going to put those fan bases on my top five. Go ahead. Have at it.
So what qualifies these five?
I told you. My criteria is...
No, but I need your criteria.
Okay,
Max.
I want hardcore fans who support the team no matter what. But also, you have to have a recency bias because the more success your team has, like, nothing is fixed. If you have 10 years of success like the Chiefs at this point, mm-hmm. right, you're going to grow your fan base.
I have one for you. How can Cleveland not be on the
list? I thought of Cleveland, James.
They are crazy about their football.
Kansas City is great. Great fan base for the Kansas City Chiefs. They win a lot of games. They're successful.
They have the loudest stadium.
That's fine. The loud stadium, how it's built. It has nothing to do. It's built. No, it's built in the ground, so therefore it's a little bit different. Yeah. The noise rises. I'm trying to juice it a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
So when you look at your list, Pittsburgh is number one. Mm-hmm. 2-3-3-2. I'm fine with that.
Right.
But if you don't have the Raiders and the Cowboys, and here fans travel.
Yep.
That's true.
Pittsburgh fans will sell out wherever they go on the road. Travel. The airports on a Friday or a Saturday, ridiculous with Steeler fans, ridiculous with Bear fans, ridiculous with Packer fans, Raider fans, Cowboys. You're not doing a list right there, Max.
They're terrible people.
You got to be objective.
Disqualifies you from public life.
The Bills fans are strong within this region. Okay,
I'm talking about like that. You're talking about like nationally.
But when you talk nationally, let me answer.
Hold on, what? The Dallas Cowboys, mm-hmm. all over the world.
I agree.
Not just Texas. Raider fans, half of the world. I'm just saying.
I agree. Let me address both. Cowboys fans, most of them fake fans. They're all over the world, but they don't really care. That's number one. Number two. Here's my issue with the Raiders. Okay.
Tell me.
They have not supported the team as much as people say they love the Raiders. And in L.A., the Raiders are like still like, what would you say, the third biggest brand in sports, right? The Raiders, the L.A. fans still
Raiders
love the Raiders.
Raiders are bigger than the actual team. Who's,
yeah, than the Rams
the two
and the Chargers.
Teams, yeah, the, two teams
yeah, man, the Raiders are huge. But when you get to the point where you have to keep moving because you can't get enough local support, that tells me something.
It's not really.
Affect the fan base, though.
No,
could you imagine the Chicago Bears moving?
That's not how they are moving stadiums. It had nothing to do with the fans as to why they had the worst. The A's are leaving. The worst stadium. The worst. You sit down in the seat and it breaks. Like, come on.
Let me say that of those three, the team that I would include and drop the Chiefs for would be actually Cleveland, would actually be the
and
Browns.
And then another one, Cleveland Browns, they travel.
I appreciate fans in Cleveland for the fact that when they lost the Browns, who hadn't won in a million years, like they haven't won a Super Bowl, they had a grassroots campaign that petitioned the league that got them to give them back a franchise called the Browns. That wasn't like astroturfing like some big corporation made it seem like. That was actually grassroots fans in the dog pound, right? Like going to the league. Those are real fans.
And Philadelphia fans are crazy.
Yeah, but I hate them.
They're crazy.
Yes, but I hate the Cowboys.
No, but I'm saying Philly fans are crazy.
NFC East, you're just not.
No.
Max, who's your favorite team again?
Giants.
All right, you're disqualified.
He does have a point.
Yeah. If an Eagles fan or Cowboys fan says they want to take on the great assault, go ahead.
You can't do that, Max.
You know what? I'm dropping the Chiefs. I'm putting on the Browns. Putting on Cleveland.
I can't
believe you said half the Cowboys fans don't have blue checks.
Like, they're not confirmed. So many fake
they're
Cowboys
bots.
Fans.
You're calling half the Cowboys fans bots.
Why are Cowboys fans fake?
Come on, man. They're all over the world. They don't really care. I'm a Cowboys fan, kind of, sort of.
Hater.
KJM, ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.